This is Chris.
And this is Jim.
And this is Double Dome Digitally Speaking.
Enjoy the show.
You know that feeling, right? That absolute just overwhelming pressure
yeah.
to constantly do more.
Oh, yeah. We all know it.
Like whether you are running a business or yeah. you're leading a team or honestly, even if you're just trying to keep your head above water in your own career.
Right. There's always that voice.
Exactly. There is this persistent nagging voice telling you that if you aren't everywhere, you know, all at once, you're already falling behind.
It is so exhausting.
It really is. It feels like you are running on a treadmill that someone else just keeps speeding up.
Yeah.
And your only strategy is just to swing your legs faster.
Yeah. And frankly, that feeling is kind of the defining anxiety of our current digital landscape. I mean, in a world that's overflowing with information, the natural human instinct is to just shout louder.
Right. To be the loudest one in the room.
Exactly. You know, to add another marketing channel or launch another massive campaign or just force yourself into more spaces just to guarantee you are actually seen.
Which is exactly why today's deep dive is going to feel like a massive breath of fresh air for you listening. We are looking at a really fascinating piece of strategy today.
Yeah, it's a great piece.
It's from Jo Medico. She is the Director of Client Services at Double Dome Digital Marketing. And she wrote this article titled, Win More by Doing Less Digital Strategy Focus.
And the title really says it all.
It does. Our mission today is to explore how this concept of, like, strategic subtraction is fundamentally changing how businesses actually win in the 2026 landscape. Okay, let's unpack this.
Yeah.
Because going against the grain of the whole do everything, be everywhere mentality, I mean, it sounds completely counterintuitive.
It does sound wrong at first, but the data she presents is incredibly compelling. It forces us to confront this massive environmental shift.
Right.
We are looking at a core tension that, honestly, most businesses haven't quite figured out how to navigate yet. Because for years, you know, the digital playbook was entirely about presence.
You had it to be on every single platform.
Exactly. But what Jo Medico and the team at Double Dome are proving is that in today's landscape, doing more is suddenly a massive liability. The instinct to shout louder is actually what is muting you.
So I want to look at a scenario the article uses to explain exactly why that old instinct is failing right now. They call it the volume trap.
The volume trap. Yeah, this is such a common scenario.
Right. So imagine a mid-sized company and they have a monthly marketing spend of, let's just say, $15,000.
Okay. Pretty standard.
For a while, putting that money into a couple of solid channels, it gets them steady growth.
Mm.
But then, and this always happens inevitably, the results just plateau.
The leads slow down, the well starts drying up.
Exactly. And the knee-jerk reaction from leadership when that plateau hits is almost always the same. They equate investment with volume.
Yeah. The CEO looks at the dashboard and basically says, well, the well is drying up. We clearly need to cast a wider net.
Right. They need more reach.
So they take that exact same $15,000 and they start slicing it up like a pizza.
Mm-hmm. A slice goes to a new social media initiative.
Right. Another slice goes to some broad programmatic ad campaign, maybe another to a podcast sponsorship.
They are just desperately trying to be everywhere. But wait, I've pushed back on this premise for a second.
Go for it.
Hasn't omnichannel presence been the golden rule of marketing for like the last decade?
It definitely has been, yeah.
So why is casting a wider net suddenly a bad thing? I mean, it feels mathematically logical that if you put your brand in front of more people, across more platforms, you will catch more buyers. It feels like we are telling a fisherman to intentionally use a smaller net.
What's fascinating here is a concept from the text called entity authority. And to really understand it, we have to look at the mechanics of the 2026 AI slump.
Okay, the AI slump.
Because the way buyers actually find vendors has fundamentally changed. People are no longer just typing a generic keyword into a search engine and, you know, browsing through 10 pages of blue links.
Right. No one clicks to page 2 anymore.
They don't even look at page 1 half the time. They're using AI answer engines. Tools like ChatGPT or Google Gemini or Perplexity, they ask a highly complex question and the AI gives them a single definitive answer.
So the middleman has changed. It isn't a human scrolling. It is an AI synthesizing the information.
Exactly. And that changes the math completely. Think of an AI answer engine like an incredibly anxious party host who is trying to play matchmaker.
Okay, I like this.
If a guest asks the host to recommend a plumber, that host is absolutely terrified of making a bad recommendation because that reflects poorly on them, right?
Oh, totally. They don't want to look bad.
So they're not going to recommend the guy who dabbles in plumbing, but also does roofing and landscaping and, you know, dog walking on the weekends.
Right. The generalist.
Right. They are only going to recommend the master plumber who has done literally nothing but fix commercial pipes for 20 years. Recommending the expert minimizes the AI's risk of being wrong.
Because the AI needs certainty above all else.
That is exactly the case. Large language models use mathematical weights to predict the most accurate, most reliable answer.
So how does that apply to a company's marketing?
Well, if your company's digital footprint has, let's say, 10 pieces of content about generic business strategy, 2 pieces about company culture, and only 1 piece about your actual software product.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah, your mathematical weight for that software is severely diluted. The LLM's confidence drops. It cannot mathematically verify that you are the definitive expert in that software.
That paints such a clear picture. So if your marketing is everywhere, your authority is diluted. To the AI, you are just this blurry, unfocused generalist.
The AI just categorizes you as generic, and you lose your status as a definitive expert.
Wow.
So that wider net the CEO casts by splitting up that 15 grand budget. In an AI-driven world, that net is actually a sieve. It is just full of holes.
Okay, I buy the premise. Being a generalist makes you invisible to AI. But, you know, diagnosing the problem is the easy part.
Always is.
If I am a CEO and I'm realizing my budget is spread way too thin and my entity authority is super diluted, how do I actually perform this strategic subtraction without accidentally cutting the one thing that's actually keeping my business afloat?
And that right there is the most terrifying part for leadership.
I bet.
DoubleDome actually uses a diagnostic tool for this. They call it the one thing test for growth scale CEOs. And the prompt they use is beautifully ruthless.
Oh, I love ruthless. What is it?
They ask, if every single one of your marketing campaigns stopped tomorrow, which single one would keep the business alive?
Oh, man. That is a brutal thought experiment.
It really is.
If you're listening to this and you are in charge of a budget or honestly even just managing your own time at work,
yeah.
Imagine forcing yourself to answer that.
Yeah.
You have to point to the single most critical engine of your survival. Like, if you only have room in the lifeboat for one marketing campaign, which one are you saving?
Right. Because it strips away all the vanity metrics. It forces you to look past the campaigns that get a lot of, you know, likes or impressions and identify what is actually depositing dollars into the bank.
But I'm guessing a lot of CEOs struggle to answer that.
That's the realization from the text, and it's a harsh wake-up call. When they are confronted with that test, most CEOs realize that their core survival engine either doesn't exist yet or it is currently starving to death.
It's starving because they've been feeding all the other 10 vanity campaigns that aren't actually converting.
Exactly.
So what should they be feeding instead? The article talks about finding a dominant intent gap. But what does that actually look like in practice?
So an intent gap is essentially a high-value problem in the market where the currently available answers are weak, generic, or just incomplete.
Okay.
It is a very specific buying trigger where you can step in and be the undisputed authority. So rather than spending money trying to rank for a massive generic term like, say, cloud storage,
which would cost a fortune,
a literal fortune, an intent gap might be something like automated cloud storage compliance for mid-sized dental clinics in California.
Oh, I see. It is hyper-specific.
Highly specific and highly lucrative because the intent to buy is built right into that query. Someone searching for that isn't just browsing.
They need a solution right now.
Right. So the goal of strategic subtraction is to take that entire $15,000 budget, stop funding the podcast ads, stop the generic social media posts, and pour every single dollar into dominating that one specific intent gap. You build your entire technical backbone around it.
Man, that requires so much discipline.
It really does.
It means looking at a spreadsheet and intentionally turning off things that feel like they should be working. But how do you actually build this strategy around an intent gap once you find it? Yeah. Domenico outlines a framework, doesn't she?
She does. She provides a very clear 3-part framework for what she calls digital strategy focus. The 3 pillars are one audience, one message, and one channel.
Okay, let's spend some time on these. Because the friction of actually executing this in a real business has to be immense. Let's start with pillar 1. One audience.
Focusing on one audience goes much deeper than just, like, picking a demographic or a job title. The text strongly emphasizes targeting only the high-intent buyer.
What does that mean exactly?
Specifically, you want to target buyers who are already in the decision phase.
Okay.
These are people who have a recognized commercial problem, they already have a budget, and they are actively looking for a preferred answer.
So this means ignoring the awareness phase, right? The text mentions stopping the whole effort to educate the broad market. That has to be a tough pill to swallow for marketing teams.
That's incredibly tough.
Because marketing teams love creating top-of-funnel educational content. It's fun to make.
It is fun to make. And honestly, it generates a lot of traffic. But traffic is not revenue.
Oof.
If you are a mid-sized company, you do not have the budget to convince someone they have a problem. You only have the budget to be the answer for the person who is already bleeding and actively looking for a bandage.
Wow, yeah.
You have to ignore the window shoppers entirely and only speak to the people walking through the door with cash in hand.
Which flows perfectly into pillar two, one message. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, but also incredibly risky.
How so?
Well, if I'm a software company and I decide to only pump out messaging about that hyper-specific intent gap, like the dental clinic compliance we mentioned,
yeah.
I mean, I am purposely turning my back on 90% of my potential market.
It feels that way, yeah.
What about the law firms? What about the accounting agencies? Aren't I leaving millions on the table by being so narrow?
That fear, that exact fear of alienating the broader market is the number one reason companies fail at strategic subtraction.
I can totally see why.
But Joe Medico's FAQ section addresses this brilliantly, and it all comes back to how AI mathematically calculates a confidence score.
Okay, walk me through the mechanics of that.
So when an AI answer engine formulates a response, it evaluates all potential sources based on certainty. If you try to talk about compliance for dentists and lawyers and accountants, you are splitting your relevance.
You're spreading it thin.
Right. So your confidence score for any single one of those categories might just hover around, say, 30%.
And 30% isn't enough.
No. The AI will not cite a source with a 30% confidence score. It will bypass you entirely for someone who has a 99% score in just one of those fields.
So by trying to catch everyone to avoid alienating that 90%, you don't actually capture them. You just lower your confidence score across the board until you capture exactly 0%.
Exactly the danger. You become mathematically irrelevant. So to achieve a high confidence score, the text states, you must produce deep proprietary data that provides information gain.
Okay, let's define information gain, because that sounds like a term that gets thrown around a lot, but misunderstood.
Yeah, it's crucial. Think of the internet as a massive echo chamber. Most content produced today is just summarizing other content that already exists out there.
It's just reheating leftovers.
Exactly. It is reheating leftovers. And AI models hate leftovers. They already have that data. So information gain means you are bringing net new ingredients to the AI's recipe.
Like what?
You are publishing a unique case study or proprietary survey data or maybe a deeply technical teardown that literally no one else on the internet has. You force the AI to cite you because you are the only source of that specific data point.
You become the primary source, not just a secondary summary.
Right.
And the text mentions tying that information gain to something called structured data. How does that work in this context?
Well, if information gain is the net new ingredient, structured data is the standardized label you put on the ingredient so the AI knows exactly what it is.
Oh, I see.
It is the underlying code you add to your website. So instead of making the AI's crawler read a paragraph and try to guess what your page is about, structured data hands the information directly to the AI in its native language.
Just bypassing the guesswork.
Completely. It says, this is a product. This is the exact price. This is the exact problem it solves.
You are literally spoon-feeding the answer engine.
You are removing all friction for the AI to recommend you, which is brilliant. And that brings us to the final pillar. One channel.
Right. Dominating a primary path before attempting any horizontal expansion.
The directive here is to find the single channel where your high-intent buyers, the ones in that decision phase, actually live.
So not everywhere. Just one place.
Just one place. Maybe that is a highly targeted Google Ads campaign built entirely around your intent gap. Or perhaps it is a hyper-focused local SEO strategy. You put your entire $15,000 budget there. You completely own it.
I can just imagine the internal politics of this, though. Like a marketing director says, hey guys, we are cutting our organic social, we're cutting our newsletter, and we are putting everything into this one specific search channel.
Oh, the board would probably panic.
They would absolutely panic.
The pressure to jump on the newest social media trend is immense right now. But Medico's point is that horizontal expansion, you know, adding new channels, It should only happen after you have completely saturated your primary channel and you actually have excess revenue to play with.
Makes sense.
Expanding before you dominate is just diluting your resources all over again.
It is the volume trap all over again.
Mm.
So let's say a company actually manages to survive the internal panic and implement this one audience, one message, one channel framework.
Mm-hmm.
What does the dashboard actually look like?
It looks very different.
Because strategy and philosophy are great for a deep dive, but a CEO is looking at hard metrics. The text provides a stark contrast between the legacy approach, which they call fragmented volume, and the 2026 digital strategy focus.
The contrast in how you measure success is basically night and day. Under the legacy fragmented volume approach, your dashboard is just a mess of muddy attribution.
Yeah, you don't know what's working.
Right. And you are dealing with incredibly high wasted spend. Because you are casting a wide net, you are inevitably paying for bot clicks on broad, unfocused search terms.
And you are looking at what Joe Medico calls fluff metrics. Things like impressions, reach, engagement rate, you know, metrics that look like a hockey stick on a graph, but don't actually deposit any dollars into a bank account.
Exactly. The legacy model leaves you in this perpetual state of renting temporary attention. You're essentially just throwing money at digital billboards. The moment you stop paying, your visibility drops to zero.
Wow. Yeah. Contrast that with the digital strategy focus for 2026. What does that CEO's dashboard look like?
It is remarkably clean. The budget is concentrated on one, maybe two high ROI paths. The wasted spend drops to near zero because you are targeting precision human intent, that specific intent gap we talk about, rather than just broad bots.
So what does this all mean for the listener? Like, what are the metrics they actually track under this new model?
Well, they stop looking at window shoppers completely. They track revenue and lead velocity.
Right, velocity.
Lead velocity is basically the speed at which qualified buyers are moving through your pipeline. And because they are producing proprietary information gain and backing it up with structured data, they aren't renting attention anymore.
They own it.
Yes. They are building an equity asset. They are owning permanent market authority.
It is like the difference between renting a hotel room for a night versus building a house. Like, one is a temporary expense. The other is a permanent asset that just compounds in value.
That is the perfect way to look at it. The digital playbook approach outlined by Double Dome is really a technical roadmap that strips away all the vanity and just ignores every new trend that pops up. It focuses entirely on high intent triggers that actually move revenue.
If you're listening to this, whether you are a growth scale CEO trying to figure out where your monthly spend is vanishing to, or, you know, you are just someone trying to navigate where digital strategy is heading, the lesson here is profoundly clear.
It really is.
Doing less isn't about being lazy. And it isn't just some cost-saving measure to make the balance sheet look good for a quarter.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, strategic subtraction is about building a growth engine that works while you sleep. The FAQ in Medico's text actually makes one final, really critical point on this.
What's that?
Business leaders constantly ask, won't I lose leads if I stop posting on every channel?
That's the million-dollar question. And the answer.
The answer is a resounding no, because you are actually losing revenue right now by funding channels that do not convert.
Oh, man.
By stopping the funding to those losing channels and shifting that entire spend to your one digital strategy focus, you are pouring fuel on the only fire that is actually keeping you warm.
I love that analogy.
You increase both the quality and the volume of leads in your primary channel, specifically because you stop trying to be everywhere.
You literally stop subsidizing your own failure. It is the ultimate shortcut to cutting through the noise. I mean, in an era of absolute information overload, where AI answer engines act as these ruthless gatekeepers between businesses and buyers, the winner is no longer the one shouting the loudest or the most often.
Not anymore.
The winner is the one with the most strategic focus. It is the company that can pass that one thing test, identify their core survival engine, and pour all their resources into making that engine unstoppable.
It requires immense discipline to ignore the noise, absolutely. But the reward is clear, actionable data and absolute market dominance in your specific niche.
Before we wrap up, there's one final thought that really stems from everything we've discussed today. We've been looking at this strictly through the lens of a business's digital marketing strategy, right?
Right. Budgets and dashboards.
We've talked about AI answer engines, corporate spreadsheets.
But this raises such an important question when we step away from the corporate side and just think about our own lives.
Yes, exactly.
If AI answer engines reward businesses so heavily for establishing entity authority, You know, by doing exactly one thing with deep proprietary expertise, how might this mathematical reality apply to our own personal career?
Oh, wow. That is a heavy pivot, but incredibly relevant.
Think about it. In our daily lives, in our workplaces, are we falling into the personal volume trap? Are we diluting our own personal confidence scores in the eyes of our managers or our industry by trying to be a jack of all trades?
We volunteer for every single committee. We try to learn a little bit of every new software that comes out.
Exactly. We try to be everywhere at once so we look busy.
We think being visible everywhere makes us invaluable, but we might just be making ourselves generic.
Right. What if the secret to personal career growth in the 2026 landscape is exactly the same as this digital strategy? What if we need to stop being generic, identify our own personal high-intent skill, our own intent gap in the workplace, and master that one single thing so completely that we become the definitive, irreplaceable expert?
I love that framing. Are you frantically running on the treadmill, trying to catch every opportunity with a net full of holes? Or are you going to stop ruthlessly subtract the fluff and build the one specific skill set that actually makes you undeniable? Definitely something to mull over as you go about your day. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into strategic subtraction. We hope it helps you cut through the noise, focus your energy, and win a whole lot more. See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed today's topic.
Be sure to like, comment, and follow us.
And check out our other shows all related to digital marketing.
Whether you're a web designer, Google Ads specialist, or a small business owner, we've got a show that'll help you get clarity on what's trending now in digital marketing.
And if you need help,
with 25 years of experience across 30 plus industries and thousands of projects, we deliver ruthlessly effective Google Ads, SEO, and omnichannel digital marketing campaigns.
Learn how you can get consistent leads in 30 days or less using our proven digital marketing strategies.
Contact us at doubledome.com to set up a free consultation.